Hey, good morning, Harbor Church West. I want to invite you in and grab your seats. It's good to see everybody this morning. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors here. And let me ask you guys this question. How many of you have one of these in your home or had one? Can you see that? You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Some of you, there's some people in this church where you don't have a door large enough to measure your height, but this is what's in my house, and I would measure our boys as they're growing up. If you notice at the top there, it says dad with some stars around it, because I want to let them know that they didn't catch up to dad just yet. And so, but we measure, right? You measure, you want to see them grow, you want to see how they're growing, how fast they're growing, because most often, growth and change is good. And even for us as believers, to grow and to change as followers of Jesus is biblical and good. But have you ever wondered to yourself if you're really changing? Has something ever happened where you're just like, oh, man, I thought I dealt with that, or I thought I changed beyond that? For example, just recently, Julie and I were coming back. We were in town and we're driving back home. It's probably like middle of the week, maybe like a Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday. It's about 9:30 at night, and we got stuck in that horrible eastbound traffic. Anybody know what I'm talking about? 9:30 at night, because they're doing road work and whatever they're doing, and we got stuck in it. It all came down to one single lane. And so I am losing my mind. I am absolutely losing my mind. You ever use your steering wheel as a punching bag? I was punching my steering wheel, whispering sweet nothings under my breath. Julie is she's just looking at me in shock. She's just like, "You're a pastor?" And I was like, so we got home and I had to apologize to her like for my behavior. And then I started thinking to myself, my gosh, you know, what was that? That was just off the rails behavior. And my wife is sitting there witnessing this. See, that's the thing about change, is that we know that change is good, especially as believers, but we wonder if change is really happening in our lives. And maybe you're here and you're discouraged by your rate of change. Or maybe you're at a place in your life where you're just like, man, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Or maybe you're here and you think, well, you know, change, yeah, that's great, Mike, but that's for the younger Christians. That's for the new believers. Man, I've been a believer a long time, so I'm not sure if this change and growth that you might be talking about is for me. Or maybe some of you are here and you're saying, man, I can't change because of my environment, my circumstances, and so it's all these other things that are happening around me that prevents change and growth in my life. Or maybe you're here and you're struggling. You're struggling with just patterns of sin. Or maybe you're just here and you just think, I don't need to change. But here's what we're excited about, because in a week, next week, we're starting a brand new series called Until the Day. And this series is all about change. It's an 8-week series that's based on Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The good work that God is doing in you and me, he will keep doing that good work until the return of Christ, and that good work includes change and growth in our lives. But we don't simply drift into change. As a church, we want to take specific next steps for change. And so in this series, we're going to unpack 6 different ways in which we can change. It'll be an 8-week series that will actually launch a 2-year all four harbor initiatives that centers around all of us taking next steps for change. So today, what we want to do is that we want to look at 3 things about change. The 3 things is, we want to first of all look at the grounds for our change. Secondly, we want to look at the goal of our change. And then finally, we're going to look at the good of our change. So I want to invite you to turn to our main text today. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 17. If you're using the Bible that's right underneath the chair in front of you, that's on page 1049. So the first thing is that we want to look at what are the grounds for our change? That is, where does our change come from? Like a plant that comes from the ground, where does change come from? What is the beginning point for our change? Well, let's look at verses 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul, who writes to this church, the Thessalonian church, he says, "But we ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the gospel. He called you to this through our gospel so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here it is. What's the grounds for our change? What's the beginning point for our change? Well, the beginning or the grounds for our change is the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. If we look at our text, notice the gospel language, how Paul calls the church brothers and sisters. That is, we were adopted. We were brought into God's family. He tells us that we were loved. When we were unlovely, Christ loved us. That's a beautiful language of the gospel. It also tells us that we were chosen by God. God was the initiator in this relationship. He chose us. Tells us that we are saved by faith in the truth of the gospel. So you notice the gospel language, and the gospel is the grounds, the beginning point of the change that God is doing in our lives. But notice that Paul says salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. Now, this word sanctification means to be set apart or to be holy. So to be clear, Paul's not saying that we are saved because of sanctification or the growth or the change, which is another way to say sanctification. We're not saved because we're changing. Rather, at our salvation, the Spirit does a work of setting us apart. Therefore, that kicks off the journey of sanctification, which is the journey of change. So maybe if we could think about it like this. I need somebody to just throw out the name of an NFL team. Please not the Cowboys. But just throw out any name.
Steelers.
The Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers. Now suppose that a scout from the Pittsburgh Steelers walks in and just looks at all of us and says, "Okay, all of you are on the Pittsburgh Steelers team." Now, nobody in here would make it, really, right? Nobody in here. But just say that the scout chooses every single one of you to be on the team. You may not have earned that spot, but once you're on the team, you learn the plays and you learn how to be a team member. See, and that's what it's like when you join Team Jesus, so to speak. You're on the team. On your own, you couldn't have made it. But you were chosen, brought onto the team, and now for the rest of your life, until the day you learn and you change and you live out the salvation that you already have. See, here's the thing. Every other religion says that in order to be saved, you need to change. Every other religion in this world says that you have to change first and then you get saved, but not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus chooses you. He changes, he saves you. And then from that, the change starts to come through our lives. I remember I was reaching out to a friend, a high school buddy. This is a long time ago. We were in our early 20s. And I was telling him about Jesus, and I was telling him, you know, inviting him to church. And he told me, "Well, Mike, you know, that's great, but, you know, come back and talk to me when I'm in my 30s. Let me change some things in my life, and then I'll consider Jesus." And that's the common way in which the world sees how you get saved or, you know, get to the higher place or whatever it is that you change first and then you consider Jesus. But the gospel reverses it, and Jesus saves you, and from that salvation, he changes you. So that's the first thing that we want to know, is that the gospel is the grounds for our change. It's the beginning point for our change. But then, if the gospel is the grounds for our change, then what's the goal of our change? Why are we changing? Are we just changing for change's sake? Is this some kind of, you know, self-improvement program? What is the goal of our change? Well, a long time ago, I went to high school with a guy who was drafted in the first round to the LA Rams. This is back in 1990. This is how old I am. And so in 1990, he was drafted in the first, as a first round draft pick to the LA Rams. And I remember when he was a senior and I was a freshman, this guy would go into the cafeteria and go to all the underclassmen, and he'd walk up to us during lunch and he would say, "Hey, I'd like to borrow a quarter." And we were like, you know, and this guy's gigantic, right? He's huge. And so, of course, it wasn't a request. It is a demand. And so we would give him our quarter. We'd give him a quarter. I still carry a quarter in my pocket today just in case I run into him. And so by the time he was done, you know, hitting up the whole cafeteria, he probably had about $20 in quarters. But then I also remember his training and eating regimen playing football. In high school, he would go to, you know, we'd all go to Rainbow Drive-In on Kapu'ula Avenue, and he would buy two chili plates, two of them, probably with the quarters that he stole. But he would take these chili plates, and back then it was like $3. And he would take a plate and he would fold the plate in half, hold it up to his mouth, and just scoop it in. And he'd do two of those. He would eat tuna straight out of the can. Part of his training regimen wasn't just his diet and nutrition and just eating and putting on weight, but then he'd also lift a lot of weights. But not just in the weight room. I remember that he would go and push his dad's truck up the hill. That was part of his training. See, everything about this guy's life was determined and predetermined so that he would become an NFL football player. Everything that in his life was organized around the goal of playing football. And I tell you this story because as we walk out this journey of sanctification and change, you and I, we have one singular predetermined goal. Everything that happens in our lives, whether the ups and the downs, the good and the bad, it's all for this one goal. And what's this goal? This goal is to become more and more like Christ. The goal of our sanctification is to become more and more like Jesus. And we see this in our text. If you look at verse 14, he says, "He, God, called you to this through our gospel so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." To obtain the glory of Christ. And this means that the goal or that the aim of our sanctification is glorification. That's what theologians call it, our glorification, which simply means this, is that it's a day that's coming when we are perfected and we are free forever from sin and suffering. One theologian said, I'm going to put this quote up on screen. It says, "Glorification is the final goal of the Christian life. The full and complete restoration of the image of God so that we may be conformed to the image of Christ." What's the goal of our change? What's the goal of our sanctification? Well, it's to become more and more like Christ. Paul, he says it like this in Romans chapter 8. Many of us know these verses. In verse 28, he says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose." But then there's verse 29, and he explains what this good is. And he says, for those he foreknew, he predestined or he predetermined not to become NFL football players, but what? To be conformed to the image of his son. And then verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The goal of our sanctification is to become more and more like Jesus. It's not change just for change's sake. It's not just for self-improvement. Because there's a lot of good people in this world, right? There's a lot of people who are changing for the better, and they don't want anything to do with Jesus. But for us, for Harbor West, we change. The goal of our sanctification, the goal of our change, is to become more and more like Christ. Friends, everything that happens in your life, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, everything that is happening in your life, the promise is this, is that God is taking those things and he's working them out for good. And it doesn't mean that everything and every circumstance is going to work out in a good way, necessarily, but the good, the ultimate good that he's working out and bringing about in our life is to become more and more like Jesus. So when you sit in traffic, and you're stuck in traffic in the middle of the week at 9 o'clock at night, one of the things that you want to come out of your life, I'm sharing this from experience, is maybe a little bit more peace. Maybe a little bit more self-control. Maybe a little bit more Christ-likeness. That's the goal of our change. And Jesus promises to work this out in our lives until the day of Christ and our glorification. What a beautiful promise. And so this is the goal of our change. The grounds of our change is the gospel. The goal of our change is Christ-likeness. And then finally, what's the good of our change? What is our change good for? So this is our next point. We're going to look at the good of our change. So back to our text, verses 15 through 17. It says, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught, whether by what we said or what we wrote. And then up on screen, verses 16 and 17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace. Look at verse 17. That he may encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word. Every good work and word. Friends, the goal of our change is good work and words. The good of our change. The good of our change is good work and words. So let me show you guys this picture. Here's a picture of our community group. It was men's night, and here we are meeting this past Wednesday. We found a new secret spot to meet, and so I'm not going to tell you where we were, but it's a great place to meet. And so here we are, and we're sitting there. You know, we're kind of at the end, and one of the things that we touched on is just the amazing fact that we're all here, and that the group is meeting, and man, we come from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, and here we are meeting in the middle of Kapolei, meeting on this island in the middle of the ocean, talking about Jesus, studying the word, praying for one another, being strengthened and encouraged by one another. Here we are, here just this group of eight guys. And as I was thinking about it, it's amazing that in 2025, here we are, sitting here. And it started to occur to me that we're here, this group met this past Wednesday because there were brothers and sisters over the centuries, believers, who stood firm in the gospel and who did good work of spreading the gospel. Think about it. We're here this morning because we stand on the shoulders of men and women who went before us, who lived long ago, and the cumulative results of men and women who have lived out the good work of the gospel in good work and words results in you and me being here today. It's amazing. Now, certainly we can credit full-time missionaries and full-time gospel workers, but what about the ordinary men and women who just lived out the change, the good of their change by serving their neighbors, sharing Jesus, inviting some friends to church, loving on people? The ordinary people who will never know who they are, but because of that, because of them living out their change for the good of the spread of the gospel, here we are today. My own mom, 92 years old, she became a believer at a young age. And the reason why was that every Sunday, a little girl in her neighborhood would come to her bedroom window and throw little rocks at it to wake her up on a Sunday morning to take her to church, take her to Sunday school. And that little act tipped the domino to where my mom became a believer. And because of that, my sister and me, we become believers because my mom is putting the gospel into us, taking us to Sunday school, taking us to church. Friends, it starts there. It starts in such small ways. When Paul wrote his letter to Titus, he reminds Titus of the gospel. And I'll put it up on screen in Titus 3, verse 4 and on. He says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the washing and regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, Verse 7, so that having been justified by his grace, we become heirs with the hope of eternal life." What Paul is rehearsing with young Titus is that he's saying, hey, look, this is the gospel. You are justified by grace, and then the Holy Spirit applies your salvation to your lives by regenerating and renewing you, bringing about the change in our lives. And then in verse 8, as Paul is coaching up young Titus as he's planting a church in Crete, he says, I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. So in other words, the good news produces the good work of change in our lives that shows itself in good work through our lives. And here's why Paul is insisting that the good work of change produces good gospel work through our lives. Because Satan is at work. Earlier in the chapter of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says that the lawless one will be revealed. He's probably referring to the Antichrist, but he also says that lawlessness is already at work. He says Satan is working to bring wicked deception. And the crazy thing is that God's plan to push back darkness and evil is sitting right here in this room. His plan to overcome the deception and the wickedness that Satan has brought into our world is sitting right here in this room. It's through you and me. It's through his church. Through the good work of change in our lives, God is overcoming evil through the good work of his people. And I know that this sounds crazy, because what can we do? We don't have money. We don't have power. What can we do? There's so much lawlessness in the world. You look at the violence from this past week. The violence that happens every week. The injustice, the suffering, it just seems like really, what? I mean, really? Me? Us? What can we do? And it's easy for us to slip into despair. because we see the violence that's happening, or we rise up in rage, or we can be like our brothers and sisters, our predecessors in the Lord, who lived out verses 16 and 17, and we can stand firm in the gospel. Because our anchor is a promise. We can stand firm because we're anchored by a promise of a God who didn't just watch violence from a distance, but he entered into it. We have a promise of a God who stepped into death itself and declared, this is not how the story ends. Because of Jesus, the day is coming. The day is coming when everything sad will become untrue, when wrongs will be made right, when every tear will be wiped away, when death itself will be destroyed. If you're a believer here this morning, this is our hope. This is our promise. This is what we're anchored in. This hope and promise then therefore tells us that our good work, no matter how small, that it matters. It absolutely matters. Romans 12 tells us, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. So the good work of change that God is doing in our lives has a point, which is to do good gospel work. And this is why our Harbor family of churches, man, we have this huge vision. This huge vision to see the gospel grow and bear fruit across our islands. We have this vision to overcome evil with good. And we believe that it all starts with all of us committing to go all in areas of our lives that we need to change and we grow and to grow. In the Until the Day series that we start next week, we're going to cover six areas of our lives that every follower of Jesus should be growing and changing in. And then at the end of the series on November 9th, we will ask every member and every attender of Harbor West to commit to take a next step of change and growth. And remember, we're not changing for change's sake, but we're intentionally changing and growing because our islands and our world needs to hear and believe the good news of Jesus. And we think and we believe that it starts with all of us committing to go all in with what God, with God's good work that he's doing in your life and my life. We don't drift into change. We must intentionally join with God in what he's doing in and through our lives. Now look, I realize that making changes sounds scary to some of you. I'm scared. It can be scary. But we're asking all of us to take one step in front of the other. I'll finish with this story that I read about. It's about the British cycling team, you know, Tour de France. I don't know anything about cycling. The only thing I know is not to try to run them over on the road. But so there was the British cycling team. They were very, very mediocre, for a long time until they had this coach come in and he started to teach them about what he called marginal gains, which is simply just seeking just a 1% improvement in many small areas. And so those areas were like in the area of sleep or nutrition or equipment or training or even maybe changing their pillow. 1% change. Within a few years, the Brits, they started to dominate the Tour de France and the Olympic Games. And it all happened because they started to make small incremental changes in their lives. And friends, this is what we're asking. This is what we're asking in this series until the day. What's the 1% step that you can take toward growth and change? And that's what we're going to be asking ourselves in this series until the day. So let's make sure that we're all here for this important series in the life of our church. Because when it comes to change, The grounds for our change is the gospel. The goal of our change is Christlikeness. And the good of our change is to overcome evil with good gospel work, that the gospel may grow and flourish, and that many, many, many would be saved in our island. So with that said, let's do this. Let's do this one step at a time. One step at a time. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray.